Wisconsin just came through its fall primary election this week, and there were some pretty surprising results, including two constitutional amendment ballot measures that voters rejected, 57% to 42%. Those questions would have required legislative approval before a governor could spend federal money coming into the state and would have barred future legislatures from giving that power away. Here and Now reporter Nathan Denzine checked in with UW La Crosse political science professor Anthony Trigoski for his take on the primary results and started by asking him who stood out as winners.
Governor Evers and the Democratic Party, because the vote against the constitutional amendments was the decisive winner in that election. So when we look at that election, the ballot measures were worded in a very odd, confusing, lawyerly way. And so voters, when they looked at the text on the ballot for the amendments, they didn't have much to work with. That meant that Evers and the Democrats could make a big influence on voters through their campaign messaging. And Evers and the Democrats did indeed make a strong push against those amendments. They were able to engage and mobilize their base, and that led to the amendments getting defeated.
So those amendments were defeated by a pretty large margin. Was that surprising at all to you?
It was, in the sense that a low turnout election is always hard to predict. We don't know how voters are going to go because we don't know who's going to show up at the polls. But turnout was quite high by the standards of August primaries, and that speaks to the ability of Evers and the Democrats to mobilize their base.
In the 8th, Tony Weed, the MAGA candidate, the Trump-supported candidate, won. What does that say about the influence of MAGA when you had two other candidates, Roger Roth and Andre Jacques, who were endorsed by more traditional conservative Republican voices?
It shows that the Trump endorsement can matter in competitive Republican primaries. And we saw that just 2 years ago with Tim Michaels defeating Rebecca Clayfish in the Republican campaign for the gubernatorial nomination. Trump endorsed Michaels, and that, I think, put him over the top against Clayfish. And this time around, in the 8th Congressional District, I think it's fair to say that Donald Trump's endorsement of Tony Weed helped put him over the top. On top of that, Donald Trump spoke out against Roger Roth, the former state senator, who came in second in the race for the nomination against Weed. Roger Roth was called a rhino, or Republican in name only, by Donald Trump. So the campaign and Trump's influence in the campaign, I think, made a big effect on the outcome.
So in the 3rd, there was a Democratic primary contested between three people. Rebecca Cook came out on top. It was a pretty contentious last few weeks of the campaign. What kind of takeaways can you take from that race, and how is Cook going to face up against Derek Van Orden in the general election?
Yeah, Rebecca Cook is a very strong fundraiser, and the Democrats are going to need plenty of financial resources if they hope to unseat Derek Van Orden, because although this district here in western Wisconsin is competitive, it does lean a little bit in the Republican Party's favor. So Rebecca Cook will have a bit of an uphill battle ahead of her. That means that she'll need plenty of financial resources to launch a negative campaign against Derek Van Orden and to develop her own political brand. Core to her political brand is the idea that she's an outsider, which, interestingly, is the political brand that Derek Van Orden developed when he first ran for Congress. So it's interesting to see those parallels between the candidates, though the parallels basically start and end right there.
In some state elections, Tim Ramthan and Janelle Branchon both lost their primary elections. Is that surprising at all? Does that show that kind of this trend of election deniers winning office is kind of dying out?
I think it shows that the influence of candidates denying the 2020 election result and the Trump endorsement factor is a little all over the place. It's hard to draw any consistent conclusions about how much it matters for a candidate to be skeptical or to deny the outcome of the previous presidential election and how much it matters for Trump to endorse them. But clearly, with Tim Michaels last cycle and with Tony Weed this cycle, we see that the Trump endorsement still matters quite a bit in certain circumstances in Republican primaries.
The presidential and vice presidential candidates, they're going to be in Wisconsin a lot. They've already been in Wisconsin a lot. How do Harris and Walz play here, especially in western Wisconsin? And how do Trump and J.D. Vance play here?
Well, the Western Wisconsin region has been tilting a little more Republican in recent election cycles, but I don't see it as being overwhelmingly Republican by any stretch of the imagination. There are certain regions that Democrats can bank on for a lot of votes. There are certain regions that Republicans can bank on for a lot of votes. But Western Wisconsin is hard for either party to bank on. And that means that there will be a highly competitive campaign ahead of us here.
Do you think that Tim Walz has any additional sway here because of the proximity to Minnesota?
He might, and it could be because people in this area are familiar with his record. People here might have developed somewhat positive or negative impressions of how he has performed as governor of Minnesota. And his political style may resonate with voters in this area because he has that folksy Midwestern way about him. Too early to tell. In general, running mates don't have much of an effect at all on presidential election outcomes, but it'll still be worth watching to see how Western Wisconsin voters respond to the Walz running mate candidacy.
Are there any big winners or losers from these state level primaries?
Well, I would have to mention Dane County turnout. I mean, Dane County's turnout was astronomical compared to the state as a whole. And that is yet another example of how Dane County is a powerhouse in the Democratic Party coalition. I think Democrats are looking at the near 50% turnout in the Madison area and licking their chops as they think ahead to what that might foreshadow for the general election ahead of us.